but you need to be careful that you don't give any indication that you somehow are going to be able to diagnose the condition, and you need to be very clear about what you can do for that person.
Now, you might have seen the moment earlier today when British astronaut Tim Peake was launched into space. He will spend 6 months on the International Space Station with just 5 colleagues, which might seem like a long time to spend in the office in one go, but this is nothing compared with what astronauts will need to do if they're ever to make it to Mars. It's at least an 8-month journey, and that's just to get there. So how would astronauts cope psychologically? Dr. Alexander Kumar spent 9 months as the doctor at the Antarctic station Concordia, which is so otherworldly that he calls it White Mars. The team there endured temperatures as low as minus 80 degrees and very low oxygen levels for 4 long dark months in winter when no one could come and go, and the team of 12 were completely reliant on each other. So the European Space Agency asked Dr. Kumar to conduct various tests on his teammates to find out how far human physiology, but also psychology, could be pushed if humans ever went to Mars.
Well, on the ice, in fact, during the winter, 10% of people will suffer serious psychiatric problems. And that's not to say that they'll be affected for the rest of their life, but that's to say that whilst they're down there undergoing that period of darkness, isolation and so forth, things can go wrong.
And do you see more minor psychological issues as well?
You do. You see a lot of different symptoms, really. There's a lot of different syndromes and phenomena that happen down there. So there is, for example, third quarter phenomenon, which is to say that if I put anyone in a period of isolation, about halfway through that point of isolation, if they know where that halfway point is, they actually take a bigger dip in their psychology just after that midpoint.
And what sort of situation are you in physically? Are you able to get away from each other, or are you kind of stuck together all the time?
You're very much stuck together, and that's the way that an Antarctic or Mars mission needs to be. It needs to be a team that works together. There's no person that's more important than the rest. You know, the mechanic will keep you warm, the chef will keep you fed, the doctor should keep you healthy, but the science is the main reason why you're down there, which you would hope bridges people together. But as an international community, I think Antarctica is a example to the rest of the world. In a time where we have such political division and problems around the world, actually, if a problem's down on the ice, you generally get on with it, whatever the country, whatever the background. Politics are really, they take second priority there to personal well-being.
And don't you sometimes see people becoming a bit withdrawn because they are possibly a bit fed up with everyone else and would like to go off and have some peace? What happens then?
Well, you know, you can almost diagnose psychiatric conditions. In fact, you can down there by the symptoms you see. And people do, of course, become withdrawn to the point of which worries you. I spent a lot of my time concerned for some team members who may have gone away into the wardrobe, so to speak, their bedrooms. But it's worrying, of course, because as soon as people start to go it alone down there, it becomes a whole different challenge. And I think only as a team can you come out. But when we were stood on the ice as the last plane left in February, you know, I looked around and I saw 12 other people, and I thought, you know, it's my job to have that same group of people standing there fit and healthy at the end. And that was a challenge, and that was a success in a way. Science takes second place to survival.
And inevitably you're going to socialise. What's the key to keeping things going? Do you play games, or what do you do?
Well, I do remember, actually, there were a lot of games, in fact, down there. We took a golf set down there, so the challenge was finding the balls after you'd hit them. We took a tennis set down there to play a game of tennis, which is the world's coldest game of tennis at minus 65.
But I noticed that one of your findings was that people's reaction time slowed down, so that would make the tennis quite hard, wouldn't it?
Well, they do. And putting that into the perspective of a Mars mission, you know, that would be the world's most complex landing in human history. And albeit probably assisted, if not led, by computers, you would want people, the pilots, the astronauts who are conducting that, to be at tip-top, you know, with good reaction times in case anything went wrong. But in fact, cognition is really impaired during the winter. That's not really what you want. So you have to find ways to overcome that as well.
And your research was for the European Space Agency with a view to trying to understand, you know, how far it is that human physiology and psychology can be pushed if we're thinking of manned missions to Mars in the future. But how similar is the environment in which you were in down there from what it would actually be like up at Mars?
But make no mistake that Antarctica is what's known as a space analogue environment. That's to say that it's one of these environments that's so close to life on another planet. It is almost like living there. Certainly, from a personal note, the sense of perspective you get of being able to look back at the planet, and actually the sadness you get of, you know, what David Attenborough has been saying for years about how things are changing for the worse. And you really get that sense of separation, which is incredible, because you're not really in space, you're not really on the moon, you're not really on Mars, but you do feel like you're on planet Concordia or on a white Mars of sorts. So that's its use. And certainly it is in a very extreme environment. You'll be out of breath having this conversation because of the hypoxia. Your mind won't be able to work as quickly because of the darkness. And the wires and things that are around you, such as iPhone headphones, would snap in half in the cold at minus 80 degrees Celsius. So it's a pretty severe environment.
So from what you've seen, would your conclusion be that people would be able to withstand a mission to Mars?
Yes, most definitely. Physiological mechanisms need to be addressed, certainly. But I think psychologically, what's fascinating to think about is actually this is the first time in human history as well that when a mission does eventually go, that people will lose sight of Earth.